Today I'm going to talk about my late wife, Marianne. So the title of this talk is In Memory of Marianne. No matter what I say or don't say, it's going to be impossible to give a full description of how wondrous a being Marianne was. And I'm certain where she is and how she is now still wondrous. Today is the second year anniversary of when Marianne died. On December 3rd, 2015, Marianne died in her sleep. We were in Sonoma County, California, tying up loose ends, as it turns out. Today, I'm in San Francisco in a hotel room making this talk. Remembering Marianne is basically the easiest thing a person could do, with the possible exception of how easy it is to love her and to love her memories. If you met Marianne, you'd remember her. If you heard her, you would remember her. If you knew anyone who had met or heard her, you would remember her. Marianne was so alive. I've never met anybody with so much energy, all of it good. Being married to her was like being in a master's program focusing on love, generosity, kindness, and so much more. She was and still is a wonderful influence on me and on our children, our friends, strangers, coworkers, everyone. I saw Marianne show consideration for others that I imagined beforehand to be too much trouble, would take too much energy, or too much effort. I told her frequently that I had thought I had big brakes and a smaller gas pedal, while she had a very large gas pedal with infrequently used brakes. Marianne didn't get tangled up in myriad details the way I did. She considered the situation. She would decide to do it or not do it, and then took action. This enabled Marianne to accomplish so much more than me or the average person. She got stuff done. On a physical level, we have known each other since we were in kindergarten. Our families were connected, too. My two older sisters, Daphne and Mary, were waitresses for Marianne's parents' restaurant. Marianne's brother also dated my sister Mary in high school. And I'm sure my father mainly, drank in the restaurant's bar. I'm sure I could make a list of Marianne's good qualities, but I'm even more certain that she had way more than I even was aware of. I know some stories that she told or other people told me about her, but in 70 years or almost 70 years of life, there was so much more that I did not know. On a spiritual, energetic level, I felt that Marianne and I had known one another before we were born into this lifetime. I was born 2 months before Marianne in a very small village on the eastern end of Long Island. She was born 2 months later in that same small village. We were born in the same hospital that my mother worked in as a registered nurse. Marianne said that my mother was her mother's baby nurse. Everyone who knew the two of us as kids felt we were perfectly matched as a couple, starting at about 11 years old. I always end my Sunday talks with a recitation of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. One line in the middle of that prayer says, "As I speak to you, I know that you are perfectly receptive of me, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form." Whenever I say this prayer in that sentence, I realize it is true of Marianne's actions in my life, as well as divine consciousness working through her, our home, now my home, our security, now my security, our property, now my property, and more were designed by and brought into physical, visible form by Marianne. I didn't realize it originally when Marianne and I reconnected, but I do now. I committed myself and my life into her care, which is the final sentence of that prayer. Memories of a deceased loved one carry grief, guilt, regret. Over time, these energy waves tend to recede, and the underlying foundation of gratitude and blessedness can be felt like a beach at low tide. But like the tides, waves of sadness complicate life when they return. In a memory, I suppose we have the choices of focusing on how wonderful the other person was, or how awful. How wonderful we ourselves were, or how awful. Marianne was never awful, although one night when we had been drinking, she really got mad at me for wanting to park the car near our clubhouse because the next day our street was going to be repaved with asphalt and we wouldn't be able to back the car out of the garage. I was laughing so hard at her because she was over-the-top angry, and I recorded it on my small digital recorder capture device that I always carried, thinking I'm going to replay this for her so she can hear what she sounded like. I didn't. I started to listen to it a couple of weeks later, and I realized it would really upset her to hear how she channeled a profane person, probably her ex-husband, who was vicious. I didn't want to hurt her, so I just erased the recording and never spoke about it. Several times during our marriage, Marianne apologized for being mean to me. Frankly, I said to her, I didn't even notice. So, if that's what you call being mean, you are not very good at being mean. You don't really know how to do it, so you can stop apologizing. On the other hand, I can be mean, impatient, abrupt. And unfortunately, Marianne experienced this. Marianne could be abrupt, but not in the mean way. She just wanted to get stuff done, and she was so capable of getting things done quickly and effectively that waiting for a slower person, me and pretty much everybody else, just made it easier to do things herself or to hire people and move on to the next thing that needed attending. When you're fortunate, as I was, to be in love with a person who had no perceived limits to her energy, to her love, or to her time, it's a remarkable experience. Marianne believed in abundance, and she created it, and she shared it without hesitation. Marianne shared love. Her parents had a 300-seat restaurant in our hometown on Long Island. While Marianne never cooked as a single meal until she was married, she learned to appreciate food as a delivery system for her love. She became a fantastic cook, really a chef. Not only was she a virtuoso in the kitchen, she was an expert on wine, vineyards, and winemaking. She even built a winery from scratch to save her marriage to her abusive first husband. Some women will have a baby to try to save a marriage. Marianne built a winery for that reason. It didn't work. She had married a monster because she thought she deserved to be punished. I'm a fan of the concept of multiple intelligences. Instead of only judging a person by IQ tests and go, oh, that person's smart and that other person is not, multiple intelligent researchers have come to the conclusion there are 7 or 8 different intelligences that people can have. Musical intelligence, spatial intelligence, emotional intelligence, physical intelligence, and so on. Marianne is the only person I know who scored high in every single one of these intelligences. When I pronounced that fact in public, she was embarrassed, but it didn't stop me from doing it. Marianne, as a consultant, taught throughout the United States, Europe, Middle East, Asia, and Africa. One aspect of her training was personality profiles using DISC. D stands for dominant, I influential, S for steady, and C for conscientious. She was an expert. I wasn't, but I was certainly fascinated by it, and I knew a lot more when she got done with me than I did before she started. Mary Ann was DI. If a situation called for it, she became an ID. DI, D is more interested in getting the job done and less on the people. ID is more about the people and a little bit less on getting the job done. So, D stands for dominant, and that person really wants to get things accomplished. And I stands for influential, a fun, communicative people person. Quick to party, quick to organize a party, quick to make people feel good. Eyes like recognition. One of the last regret-filled acts I had was when I interfered with Mary Ann getting recognition that she deserved. This is what happened. A club that we were members of sponsored a Christmas gift program for people in local shelters. They asked the members to create a single gift of necessary toiletries for a man or a woman, and you'd modify it just slightly, to include shampoo, razors, toothbrush, toothpaste, dental floss, other things like that. Mary Ann decided to do this, except instead of one gift, she created 24 different packages, all elaborate. And the gifts, and that's what she was about, creating gifts that were more elaborate. She told me to go on Amazon and order things to be included. She packaged them all up. She went shopping for them. And just before we left for California, November in 2015, which would be the last time she would be in Florida in physical form, she wanted to drop the gifts off at the club. I interfered. I told her, they won't have room to store these gifts this far in advance. I just made that up. I didn't call the club. I didn't figure that out. I didn't know if that was true. I just put an impediment in the path. We didn't drop off the gifts. Instead, we planned to do it when we returned on December 6th. Mary Ann died on December 3rd. When I returned home, my daughter Lisa and I took the gifts to the club. The woman who received them knew Mary Ann and considered her to be an amazing person. Even more so when she saw the quantity and the quality of Mary Ann's gifts for the people in the shelters. Mary Ann should have been able to receive the recognition. It would have pleased her. I regret messing that up. As you might expect, Mary Ann was a great positive influence on our children and people we attracted into our orbit. Mary Ann's friends tend to call her Ma, since those were her initials, M-A, and she also looked after people like a loving mother. Our grandchildren called her Gamma, G-A-M-A, which stood for Guardian Angel Mary Ann. She was thought of that and more to them, even when she was in physical form. I often talk about my energy model of life, with energy acquisition being the first phase in this model. I think there were four, there obviously many, many more than that, but four wonderful examples of acquired relationships that are typical Mary Ann. And this occurred in Naples, Florida, alone. The people that she affected were Nikki Sidebottom, Gene Kirksey, Penny Rambacker, and Anna Maria Seven. Nikki was our first wine rep in Florida. She was a young girl, and she immediately became a mentee of Mary Ann. Mary Ann took her under her wing, and she, in short order, became like a daughter to us. We figured she was the first child, other than our puppy, that we had together. She was amazing. Nikki ended up living in our rental property at special family rates simply because we loved her. And that's the way Marianne wanted it handled. Jean Kirksey was an older woman by about 15 years that Marianne met in Connecticut. And when her sister died, Marianne took her in. Jean had moved to Naples, Florida, and that's one of the reasons we did as well, because of the real estate value improvement as compared to Kansas City, where we lived. So Marianne became the caretaker and confidant and executor of Jean's situation. And as Jean became less capable of handling her own details, Marianne took on more responsibility, readying her condo for sale. Other properties needed to be liquidated. A senior living facility needed to be found and selected. And Jean needed to move into a section in that senior living facility that was luxurious enough for somebody who had lived in a penthouse apartment in New York, as well as a really exclusive condo here in Naples, Florida. Marianne did all of that and more. She took care of her like she was her mother. Penny Rambacka is another person that came into our orbit. Marianne had a consulting gig in Singapore, and I accompanied her. So on the way back, we're sitting on a plane in LAX, in, of course, Los Angeles, and the flight attendant came over. Marianne made a comment about her necklace being really attractive, and Penny Rambacka talked about it being made by hand by craftswomen in Guatemala, and that she was the founder of a charity that helped women in Guatemala. Interestingly enough, we met in Los Angeles, but Penny lived in Naples, just like us. And so one of the first things that we did is made contact with her when we returned, set up an appointment. And he said, I can't buy anything. If you need to sell me something, I can't really do that. I said, no, we're not buying. We're not trying to sell you anything. We want to find out what you do and how we can help. Penny's charities, miraclesinaction.org, build schools in the highlands of Guatemala. It started years before when Penny and her mother were in Quito, Ecuador, and they saw a poor child begging, and they were really upset by it. And somebody that was with them, who knew more, said, "If you want to be upset, you think that's upsetting? Let me show you." And she took them to the dump, where families lived in and around the dump and scavenged all day long. And after that event, they said, "We got to do something about it." And from that point on, her mother, initially with Penny, and ultimately Penny by herself after her mother died, built schools in Guatemala and the highlands, made arrangements to have people learn how to dig wells, how to build stoves instead of families cooking over open fires in the middle of huts where children and others were getting burned by them. And it just went on and on. Even libraries got built because of Penny's actions. Well, when we knew this, Marianne said, "This idea of schooling is fantastic." And we agreed that we would fund a school in honor of our parents. And we built a school in Guatemala. Then we said, "Well, that one was great. Let's do it again." And we built a school in honor of our siblings. And we planned a third school in honor of our children. But Marianne died before we accomplished that. And so the next school was built in honor of Marianne. It was a farm school that was already started, and I contributed funds to it and did fundraising for it. And throughout all this time when Marianne was alive and Penny needed people helping selling this jewelry made by people in Guatemala, the women, so they could stay home and take care of their children and also earn a living, Marianne would set up booths, church events, flea markets, and so on, and help sell packaged stuff for Christmas for other people so it could be sold. She was honored by Miracles in Action for all of her support and for the schools that we built. When we were living in our villa, which turned into a rental property that Nikki lived in for about a dozen years, Marianne met a woman working at a store across the street. And it turned out that that woman introduced Marianne to her mother-in-law. And that mother-in-law became an integral part of our family, Anna Maria Sebin. And she and her husband and children have been our other family in Naples that we were so pleased to have. We were involved with their weddings. I married their daughter, and we employed another daughter as our Spanish customer service person in the healing codes. Marianne helped in other situations in the family, as well as they became our air conditioning people, because that was their field once they moved from Uruguay, where they had a manufacturing company, to Naples, where they worked in air conditioning. These relationships all continue today because Marianne, when she built a relationship, built that. That thing was going to last forever. She had friendships from the earliest years of school, of college, of IBM, where she worked for 30-some years. In Florida, and this was elsewhere as well, Marianne loved boating. She loved preparing and serving food. And one activity that pleased her tremendously and repeatedly was for us to rent a pontoon boat, and then she turned it into a waterborne picnic with wonderful food and drink. So whenever we had guests, our children or friends, and there was an opportunity over a weekend to rent a pontoon boat, we did it. Within minutes of casting off from the dock, Marianne was, "Tom, do you want me to take over?" And I knew that wasn't really a question. That was an expression of a need. She wasn't asking for information. So I always let her take over. She loved being in control of the boat. In my mind's eye, I can see her with her hair being blown back and simultaneously steering the boat. She'd have her puppy Nikki on her lap, and Nikki's ears would be flying back because of the wind of our forward progress. That was pure joy for Marianne. Occasionally, I would resume piloting so Marianne could serve the rest of us delicious food and drinks that she had prepared. She tried to do it while she was steering the boat, but occasionally I would help out. She loved boating, while I loved her happiness of boating and her tuna pasta salad and the other goodies that she made. I won't talk in detail about Marianne's actions on behalf of others. I could, but no matter how much I talked, no matter how long I talked, I would be not doing justice to everything that she did. But I'll just throw in a few tidbits. She bought a dog on the East Coast and flew it to Texas for the small daughter of her friends, knowing that no child should be without a dog. And that dog was an integral part of that family. I met the family when that dog was 15 years old. Absolutely. And I think the daughter was 16 or 17 years old. On one of her flights, she ended up talking to the person next to her. Go figure. And that guy had an eligible son, and Marianne said, well, I've got an eligible girlfriend. So, and that girlfriend and that son ended up being married. They live in Texas. All three girls, that woman and her husband had two beautiful daughters. The three girls all graduated from the University of Texas, are successful beyond being beautiful. She coached one of our granddaughters about self-respect, and she did this on a regular basis in a way that the child could hear it. And that's no small feat. When you can talk to a teenager and they can hear you, you know you have some people skills. It's not about do it this way, do it that way, do what I say. Not, that wasn't Marianne's style. She had a way of delivering information as a teacher and a mentor, as a coach, as a caring, loving person, that you pretty much were going to be influenced positively by anything that she did. And she coached his granddaughter not only about self-respect, but how to treat other people and how to treat your personal objects. One time she drove Alice and Jean, from Connecticut. She drove them, in less than 48 hours from Connecticut to Florida, got out of the car, got dropped off at the airport, and flew back to Connecticut so she could go to work the next day. Who would do something like that? She just flat out did it. When we lived in Kansas City, we lived in a cul-de-sac, and an African-American family moved in on the corner, only one in the neighborhood. So we invited them over for dinner shortly after they moved in, parents and five children. And our approach was, we're grandparents, but our grandchildren are far away. And their approach was, we're grandchildren, but our grandparents are far away. So we became Grandma Marianne and Grandpa Tom to the family. Well, the oldest daughter was graduating from college and now was getting married. She was marrying a son of a minister, and I think he actually was in school to become a minister. He was Caucasian. So they were going to have a wedding and a reception. And Marianne said, well, tell me about the wedding reception. And when she heard the Spartan kind of preparation that was going into it, she said, Monique, call your mother up and tell her to come on over. And so Monica came over, and Marianne sat him down. So the four of us were sitting there, and I just watched Marianne in action. Okay, how many people? 50 to 60. Fine. What is your budget? $400. Fine. Okay. I'll take it from here. Nobody drinks. There'll be no alcohol. Marianne said, that's even finer. Good. We'll take over. And I'll let you know what we're going to do before we do it, and you can have final say on it. Marianne made out a menu that involved plenty of shrimp, roast beef, all kinds of sauces, all kinds of desserts. It was remarkable. Well, it cost more than $400, but not a heck of a lot more. We hired somebody to help serve, so it would be more than just the two of us serving and cleaning up and handling people's needs. And that reception turned out so fantastic that these two kids getting married were so proud of that wedding reception and the appearance that it created for all their guests. So they knew, the guests knew, this is a good marriage because, these people really did it right. And it was all because of Marianne. It was an amazing thing to see. Marianne volunteered to do bridal showers for Anna's daughter, actually, the one that I was the officiant for, threw a bridal shower at our home in another tumultuous relationship. A person needed to end a marriage, and it involved the money. Marianne provided the loan, set up the arrangements, and monthly payments came in on time without fail. And in fact, ultimately got paid off ahead of time. But she managed that at her memorial service in Florida on December 12th, 2015. That person was sobbing so hysterically at the loss of Marianne. This, even though he has a wonderful mother, the way Marianne treated him and helped him and cared for him, just the loss of her was more than he could bear. Marianne did it all. Matchmaker did it all. When she was on vacation for an IBM for years, she and her husband would go to Sonoma County. And because they enjoyed wine, they would seek opportunities, particularly Marianne, to work at wineries. What do you need to do? I'd like to be a volunteer. I'll help you do this. I'll help you do that. Well, at events where they were going to be, you know, thousands upon thousands of people would be doing wine tastings over a course of weekends, Marianne said, well, I'll make the food. You know, here, this is, you buy the stuff, or I'll give you a list, and you give me the money. I'll go buy the stuff. I'll do all the cooking. I'll get it all ready. I'll set it up, and then I'll serve it. And she did this. And that same winery ended up saying, you know, I need to expand. Marianne says, yeah, you do. You need a decent tasting room. I'll design it. I'll be the contractor. I'll get it. We'll build it. And she managed the construction of a tasting room for Wellington Vineyards. Amazing, amazing woman. She would go to the Catholic Church in Sonoma, and she had a good relationship with the priest, and he was involved in a soup kitchen because they'd have a soup kitchen. People would come and eat. She's, I can make, 50 gallons of soup. Sure, let me add it. And she would get involved in making the soup and delivering it and serving the people who would show up to be fed. She was a wine expert, and this really served Nikki Sidebottom when we came to Florida. Because not only could Marianne sell, she was an unbelievable salesperson. And in her IBM career, they wanted Marianne to be a programmer. She said, I want to be in sales. Well, you're a woman. We want you to be a programmer. Yeah, I am a woman, but I want to be in sales. They finally relented and gave her a sales territory 3 hours from her house. When she became really successful, they noticed, and they changed the sales territory, so it was only 2 hours from her house. And ultimately, winning award after award, they ended up making her a trainer in their Endicott, New York facility, which was really training headquarters. She became one of the first female sales managers, the first one in the Southwest, the good old boy territory, so that was a different experience. And ended up being the branch manager not only in Texas, but later on in Kansas City, Missouri, and developed lifelong friends. One of the cool things about IBM is it gave her tremendous visibility and puts her into positions where she could interact on a high level. One of her favorites was dealing with Sonny Bono. Sonny Bono was the mayor of Palm Springs. IBM did conferences out there. Marianne was in charge of conferences worldwide for IBM for a period of years. And she said, Sonny, I need a bigger venue. Your buildings are a little too small for the scale we need. And so they walked it and worked it out to the point where it was agreed that if Marianne would commit for 5 years to have these sessions in Palm Springs that they would build a bigger venue so IBM would have that facility. And they did it. And so they would hold these amazing things, you know, weeks after week after week after week for various industries. One of her jobs was to work in Washington, D.C. to see what was going on in Congress. And she told me multiple times years later that the one person she developed a tremendous amount of respect for was Joe Biden. He did what he said what he did. He didn't make speeches and then have them changed in the official registry of what he said. He said what he said, and he stood by it. And he was ethical and honest and a decent human being. She really liked that about him. But in her other capacities, she ended up giving speeches in Monaco, which sounds like a pretty impressive thing to me, as well as in Japan. She had a laugh when she told me stories about her time in Japan. Men, of course, wanted to see if they could embarrass her because she was an American woman. They took her to a Playboy Club, and hoping that the scantily clad women would be embarrassing. Marianne just held her own and acted like nothing was there and was totally comfortable with it. She had seen breasts before. That didn't faze her. But one of the things that the Japanese made a mistake was karaoke was and is big there. So they took her to a karaoke, I guess, bar, and the main host thought he was hot stuff, so he'd get up and sing, and then kind of taunted her to get up and sing. She said, "You don't really want me to get up and sing." "No, no, no, yeah, we do, yeah, we do." And they pushed and pushed. She said, "Oh, okay, I warned you." She got up. Marianne had the most remarkable memory for songs. We'd hear a song, two or three chords in. She knew the song. She knew all the words. I mean, we're talking stuff that went back into the 50s, right on up to current stuff. It always amazed me, you know. So she would get up, and this was one of the other intelligences, musical intelligence. Not only could she play the piano, the organ, she could sing. She had the most beautiful voice. And the fact that she could remember all the songs and all the words and how to sing them. Now, when she stood up in that karaoke bar and started to sing, it's like, oh, man, she blew them away. So much so that other people wouldn't get up. They just said, sing another. So the guy who was trying to embarrass her ended up being in total admiration of her talent. And that's really Marianne. I could go on and on, but I still wouldn't do justice to this wonderful woman, wonderful wife, wonderful mother, grandmother, friend, and partner. Her effects still ripple not only through my life, but the lives of a lot of other people. And inevitably, that will continue till all of us are gone, and then it probably will continue still. I'm going to end the service with the pluralized version of the prayer, letter 8. From letter 8, in Christ Returns, reveals startling truth. In letter 8, Christ says, "Memorize this and allow the consciousness of the words to penetrate." And when I started to memorize it, I realized I was talking not only about divine consciousness and Father, Mother, Life, but I was talking about Marianne. And I recognize that every time I say this prayer. Father, Mother, Life, You are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. One of the guys that loved Marianne and always called her Ma said, "Never say you like something when you're near Marianne, because within 15 minutes, she will have it for you. She will take every comment that you make as an expression of need, and she will fulfill it." And I used to see this all the time. It was amazing to me. I can recall one night we went out to dinner in Naples, and there was a Rolls Royce for sale. And I went over and looked at it, and I said to her, "Wow, that's a beautiful Rolls Royce. Wow, that's really nice." And that poor girl started, "Oh, my God, I don't think it'll fit in the garage. And I don't know, you know, can we afford it? And what will we have to sell in order to buy it? And would we have one car or two?" And when I realized what all these calculations going on in her head, I went, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was just making a comment. It's a beautiful car. You know, I don't want to own it. I don't want to have it. I don't want to buy it. I just was making a comment." So, fulfillment of every need. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe you protect and maintain us within perfect love. She did that for me and others. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. She was my greatest teacher of love by far. I've had some good ones, but none that compare to Marianne. If I express love, I can see her influence on me. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. My world has been shaped and designed by Marianne, to my great blessedness. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, I'm guilty of not doing enough of that, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.